My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the voice of the Cape.
This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the news.
It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zaire Kelesi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside.
Asalaamu Alaikum and good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to the past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Firoz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nasser Myberg. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Cape Town Spurs, Maritzburg United, Tongaat Crusaders, Manning Rangers midfielder, Sally Adams. But before I chat to Sally, let's catch up with the latest sporting news coming through today. The new Premier League season, of course, got underway yesterday. There were two games today. Leicester beating new boys West Brom 3-0 there. Everton, they're looking good with a few good new signings. They beat Tottenham 1-0 at the Tottenham Stadium. England currently playing Australia in the second ODI at Old Trafford. England posted 231 for 9 after batting first. Australia currently 95 for 2 from 20 overs. The Aussies leading that three-match series. Looks like they're on the way to winning this one. If they do, they'll win the series with a game to go. The third match takes place on Wednesday. And of course, the news coming through from the Tuscan Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton took the checkered flag. Their teammate Valtteri Bottas was second, and Red Bull's Alex Albon finished third. His first ever podium finish there. Of course, the US Open men's final takes place later tonight. Second seeded Dominic Thiem comes up against fifth seeded Alexander Zverev. That match getting underway at about 10 o'clock tonight. Stage 15 of the Tour de France completed today as well. That covered 174.5 kilometers. Tadej Bogaka was the stage winner there. Primoz Roglic finished second. He's still the overall leader. No action tomorrow. Tomorrow is a rest day at the Tour de France. Time now to say assalamu alaikum and welcome to Sally Adams. Thanks for joining me tonight on Voice of the Cape.
Walaikum salam. Nice to be here.
Of course, you can join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 072-238-0712 for any comments or questions there. The story goes, Sally. Let's start with that first. Your first love was golf. And you really took to football when you moved from Rondebosch East to Heideveld.
That's cool.
Tell us about the story.
Yeah, well, I grew up at Rondebosch golf course, which is in Black River. And then we moved to Heideveld. And opposite the Heideveld flats or block of flats where we stayed, they built a new soccer fields, and it was called, obviously, it later turned into the Cape Flats Football Association. I played for the team called Chelsea Athletic all my amateur days, and yes, I enjoyed it, you know. That is where it started, really.
So your first team was Chelsea. You played for them till you got into the pro ranks. Take it your first team, of course, was Cape Town Spurs. How did you get that big break to play for Spurs?
Okay, let's start a little bit earlier. Firstly, you know, playing under 18 football, board football as they called it at the time. I was fortunate to get selected along with Keith America, one of the guys I remember, to play against the South African schools team, you know, at Turfle Park. And obviously, when I got selected, I thought, okay, maybe I have something. And then the following year, I got selected in the Western Province schools team, and we went to Kimberley. So 2 years later, when Cape Town Spurs needed some players, and there was an ad in the paper, Cape Herald, I went for trials. And there was about 65 players. And long story short,
you got in.
I made the 16.
So you were a midfielder. Were you always a midfielder?
I was always a midfielder. Fortunately, at Cape Town Spurs, we had a player coach called Bobby Solomons. And Bobby Solomons is the person, I think, that I learned a lot of football from. I was very inquisitive, asked him a lot of questions every night after training, at the trips. And I think with that information that I got from Bobby, Bobby obviously also had the foresight to see that I could play in many more positions, but midfield was my role. But whenever the team needed me, I played right back, left back, striker, winger. Only position I never played was goalkeeper. The obvious thing is that.
So you also filled in as that utility player when Bobby needed you.
That's correct.
So you're talking about this group of players that went for these trials and stuff. Name some of those players that were part of that group. Was like, for example, Keith America part of it, Calvin Peterson. Those were also household names back then for Cape Town Spurs.
Yes, there was a lot of young players as such, or new players as such. There was Keith America, there was Alec Ahrens, there was John Miller, there was Philip Leitis from Stellenbosch. Then there was the older guys, Georgie Van Niekerk, you know, Neville Lont, Greg Hendricks, a goalkeeper. I'm getting a little bit older, so I can't remember all the names.
That's fine, that's fine. Now, the Cape teams dominated in the FPL, Sally. Obviously, you made that trek to KZN, and we'll come to that in a short while. But let's talk about your highlights with Cape Town Spurs.
Look, with Cape Town Spurs, I played for 3 seasons. In those 3 seasons, I was fortunate to be in a winning team that won the league twice. 1980, I played in the cup final we played in 1980, we won. I also played in the cup final in 1981 for Cape Town Spurs, a top four final against Leeds United. And it was the best foundation in my career, playing for Cape Town Spurs and being with all those type of players like Bobby, for instance, Georgie, you know, those type of players. Then afterwards, you had the guys coming like Farouk Abrams. You had Mansour Abdullah I played with. I played even with Donnie King. I played with Bernie Van Niekerk, Charles Bukers, all these guys.
You know? They were all household names.
That's correct.
That 1980 final you're talking about was against Manning Rangers. I think you guys won 3-0 or 3-1.
We actually won 3-1, yes.
Yeah. Now, just to let you know, that was my first ever experience at Curry's Fountain.
As a ball boy?
No, as a supporter.
Oh, okay.
I was supporting the Rangers, by the way. Unfortunately, you guys came and dominated. Now, like many other Cape Townians, you know, you guys made the trek to KZN. I think Maritzburg United was the first port of call for all of you guys. If I think about it, it was yourself, Keith America, Calvin Peterson, Ibrahim Jacobs, Farouk Abrams.
Clive Carolison.
Yeah. Almost a whole new team. Why did you guys make that move to Maritzburg?
Obviously, Cape Town Spurs was sold to some businessmen in 1981. And after the season in 81, they decided that they were going to take the team to the NPSL. And one of the guys from Maritzburg came to meet us, and I decided, look, let me go.
Let's give it a try.
You know, it's a good experience. It's a different culture, different, maybe a new challenge.
Mm. Yeah. But you guys turned Maritzburg United around because playing at Northdale. Firstly, tell me, what was it like playing in Northdale Stadium? You know, the atmosphere there, you know, share that with us, with some of our listeners. You know, what was it like playing at another ground? Okay, they know the experience of Athlone Stadium when it was packed. A ground like Northdale Stadium.
Okay. Like Northdale Stadium was quite an experience. Obviously, we started the season with new players as well. Mm. You know, there were some older players, some young players. One of the younger players that we signed at the time became a household name called Ravi Pillay.
Mm.
And our first home game at Northdale Stadium, you must remember, there was about the six of us stayed in Durban.
Yeah,
we didn't stay in Maritzburg initially. We stayed in Durban. So we came, and when we got to the ground, it was a different atmosphere. I mean, the queues were like from out. We couldn't get in, and because it's a small stadium as well, small stand, everybody is packed around the ground, and we played most of our games on a Friday night. So, you know, it was entertainment for the people, but also it was a nice atmosphere just having those people close to you, and you know, you get this screaming and shouting, and you know. So, yes, it was a different atmosphere, I think, you know, and just to walk through from the outside to the inside, and you have to hear all the comments that the people are giving you, you know, how they feel about the team, this, and how they feel about the players. That was exciting.
And you guys were heroes to those players, because I remember the time when you hear all these Cape Townians coming up to Durban, it was like, wow, back then, you know, because you guys were stars for Cape Town Spurs.
Yeah.
Now you're making the journey up to KZN, first with Maritzburg. Mm. Those guys really looked up to you guys.
Well, yeah, well, I think one of the, there's a comment that came from two players from the Maritzburg team. They said, look, we're good players, but we don't have the pride and the passion that these guys come with. I mean, we used to train. Those guys never used to train. And when they had to train with us, it was, they couldn't cope. And that was the difference. So we pulled them, you know, being almost half the team, we actually pulled them into us and to do what the Cape Town teams do. And that is play with passion and pride.
And of course, Maritzburg, you guys turned it around. I think you won two cups or two or three cup finals. You were in, you're winning a few of that. Talk us through some of those highlights with Maritzburg.
Okay, I was with Maritzburg for two seasons. In those two seasons, never finished out of it. We finished twice. We finished second. The first year, we played in two cup finals. The first cup final, we played Glendin. Mm. We beat them in the replay. And at the end of the season final, we lost, unfortunately, you know, to Bosman Chelsea. Good experience, nice crowd, no, you know, nice atmosphere. And the following year, we won both the cup finals.
Mm.
So it was quite a for us, it was a successful, and for the people of Maritzburg, it was a huge success.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Now, I've got an interesting comment here on Facebook, Sally. This comes from Ian Africa.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good midfielder himself.
Yeah.
So this is what he has to say. He says, when Eunice Adam was manager of Crusaders, he assigned me with the task of man-marking Sally Adams on those cold winter nights at Northdale Stadium. He reasoned that if we cut off the supply to Keith America, Calvin Peterson and Mark Buckley, we had a chance. Needless to say, I kept a close eye on Sally for most of the game, but for moments he just vanished. When I found him, he was there supplying those balls to Keith, Kelly and Mark. He was a master at losing his marker and ghosting in and out of games. The most intelligent midfielder I played against, Edward,
yes. Yeah, we played together at Tonga Crusaders.
Yeah.
Well, interesting comment there from Ian. I think one of the key things in midfield play, I think, was to be able to lose your marker, and obviously also to create space. And, you know, I think I was just maybe a little bit aware of where I am, you know. I think also one of my key elements was that I was very good in playing without the ball.
Mm.
And I think that is not something that people coach nowadays.
Yes.
And it's quite nice to hear that from Ian.
No, absolutely. It's brilliant. And like you're saying, that you were one of those midfielders that maybe if you look today, a guy like perhaps Bruno Fernandes or someone like that is already thinking ahead before they get the ball.
That's
to
right.
Know where his attackers are or where the spaces are, because he's already looking for those spaces.
Just a funny comment. Like, everybody knows Keith, Mark Buckley, Calvin, you know.
Yeah.
We had Lloyd Lang there. We had Patrick Moon.
Yes.
And they scored a lot of goals, you know. And I used to tell him, yeah, you're always in the newspaper making headlines. But who is giving you all the passes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sally, we're going to take a quick ad break now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. We're talking to Sally Adams tonight, the former Cape Town Spurs, Maritzburg United, Tongaat Crusaders, and Manning Rangers midfielder. But before we continue our conversation, I've got a dua here for Mujahid for his birthday tomorrow and for his matric. May Allah open his mind while writing Amin from his grandmum and the rest of the family there. So Mujahid, all the best to you there. Sally, after Maritzburg United, you decided to make the move up to Tongaat.
Yeah.
Tongaat Crusaders, as they were known as the Cossacks.
Cossacks, yes.
Now, before we talk about them, that was another small little ground there, Watson Park. Another cozy ground, and the fans really got into your face there. Tell us about that. You laughing.
Yeah. Look, the main stand was quite far from the playing pitch, because that was an oval, which means they played cricket there as well. Mm. So you had the cricket pitch in the center. But on the opposite side, there was a fence.
Yeah.
And the people used to stand there with their mangoes and their things. And if you play badly, they'll throw you with it. And the comments you get, it was amazing. You know, they were obviously passionate. And we assembled a nice team at Crusaders, you know. We had all the Naidu brothers, Dan Paul Rally, you know, Danny. Then we had Ramu Kumarasamy.
Yes.
Ashok Kasi, well, Ruben Pelé.
Ian as well played for them.
Ian Africa, Errol Piff, Charlie Leco, Mark Buckley, you know. Then we had Gregory Copps that came from PE, was studying in Durban, he came to play. Colin Solomons came and played.
Yeah.
You know, he was the player coach. And we had a good team. We had a very, very competitive team, you know. Like I said, in the first 6 years of my career playing in Federation football, I never finished out of the top two of the of the league.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, obviously there was a lot of competitiveness. Yeah. And also with Crusaders, we all, first year, we also played in two cup finals, which we won against Bluebell. So I just mentioned, maybe I should mention it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do, because I think this is it's quite phenomenal.
Yeah. In Federation football for the first 6 years also, I played in eight cup finals and two replays, actually.
How many of them did you win, by the way?
Obviously, let's go with the losing ones, because the losing ones is easier.
Yeah.
We lost two.
Yes.
We lost one for Cape Town Spurs. We played Leeds United in the cup final, and we had to replay, and we lost.
To Leeds.
To Leeds, yeah, from Wentworth. And the other cup final we lost at I lost was with Maritzburg when we played Boston Chelsea. All the others,
you won.
The team was successful. I was a part of it.
Just by the way, Sally, do you still have those? Well, those days they weren't medals, right? They had miniature trophies, wasn't it?
To be honest with you,
you can't remember.
Those things got lost.
Seriously,
there was no value really to it. It was plastic stuff, and that. Yes, I tried to keep some of them, but you know, I moved such a lot in Durban.
Yeah.
It just got lost. So at Crusaders, yes, it was a nice setting, nice club to play for. You know, obviously the Federation League tried to get as wide as possible, you know, going to Tonga and Maritzburg, obviously Johannesburg, Bluebells, even
PE as well, later on.
Yeah, later on, you know. So the Crusaders and the Tonga people were quite excited about having us there, you know, and the blend of the team was always very good, you know. There was, you know, you had these different races playing in the team. And that was good. That was actually really exciting. And to me, it actually helped me later on in my football career.
Mm.
You know, it's not only playing. I had to stop playing sometime or the other.
And then the move to Manning Rangers.
Yeah, the move to Manning Rangers came about after some time. And I think that was good. Playing in Chatswood, you had a 3B ground 3B, first.
I'm just about to ask you. That's another ground that, you know, because when I spoke to Duncan, we were talking about the change room, which is right on the top. You basically have to walk across the road and get to the top, and there's a steep flight of stairs.
Stairs down, to the ground.
To the ground.
Yeah, and the people are sitting there, and there's no security or anything. You just have to hope that nothing happens to you. But in that same year, in 1989, when I played for Manning Rangers, we were the first team to play at the new Chatswood Stadium.
Yes.
Manning Rangers went to play there. So That was quite interesting. And playing for Manning Rangers with such a big history, you know, a club with a lot of history in the Federation League, it was good. It was exciting for me. Actually, one of the best things that happened to me happened at Manning Rangers by the then manager of the team called Don Woodley.
Mm.
At the end of that season in 1989, he said to me, "Sally, I think you must let the youngsters play now. I think you need to concentrate on coaching." My comment to him at the time was, "If I'm not good enough to play in your team anymore, how can I be good enough to coach them?" But 6 months later, he actually said, "I realized that was the best thing that someone have ever told me." And I try to put that across to certain footballers nowadays, you know, to not to discourage them, but to encourage them, because there's a certain time that, you know, that you need to feel, you need to know that it's time to now stop playing.
Yeah.
And nobody knows. Nobody, look, obviously, there's more money in the game now. So it's all about making money, and nobody wants to stop.
Yeah.
But we need to. There need to be somebody that to tell players, look, it's time to give up. Maybe go in a different direction. Maybe your talents are needed there. And maybe that is where all this, the follow-through came, you know? Because 2 years later, I became the assistant coach at Manning Rangers. And I worked with Gopi Naidu, you know? And from there, just carried on.
Now, what about some of the top players you played with at Manning Rangers? We heard about Maritzburg United, Cape Town Spurs, Tongaat Crusaders. Manning Rangers?
Just now.
Sugar Singh, was he still playing when you played, or was he?
Sugar was already retired. You know, Super Naidu was gone. You know, all these guys.
Yeah.
It was a lot of young guys. Ivan Salvanathan was just coming through. There was a goalkeeper. I can't get his name. No.
Barons.
Boy Barons was there.
Yeah.
My photographic memory has let me down.
Okay, I've got a message here from number ending 6531. If you could send us your name, please. Sally, have you played with Kader Suleiman at Cape Town Spurs?
That's correct. We played with Kader, yeah. Yes, 1979.
Yeah. Another good player.
Very good player. Very good player. Very good left footer. It was Kader, Keith, Neville, and Alec Arons playing up front for us. And then Calvin came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after 89, you decided to go into coaching with Maritzburg. And how did your coaching career take off after that?
Well, from there, I started obviously coaching first with our good friend Afzal Khan, opened his own club called Derby United, and I went in and coached his team. And from there, they joined up with the Albion and Callies a couple of years later, and they played in the Coastal League.
Yeah.
And then he asked me to assist Gordon Eggerson with the Albion and Callies in 1993. And I was also instrumental in getting Calvin Peterson to come and play for them.
Okay.
They had Dane Moussa, had Jazzy Queen Lekhodi, they had Harold Jazzy Queen, they had Briggs Matao, they had all
they had
these
some top names.
Top
then.
Names.
Yes.
Kenny Niemek was okay, a youngster.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they had Ibrahim Jacobs, Faisal
Scott,
and all these.
Zane Williams.
All these.
Now,
boys.
Those were all the guys you could have coached at Derby, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was helping Gordon at the Albion and Callies for the first time. So, and then from there, I got out of football for a while. We'll get to talk about that a little later. And then in 95, Afzal also, he then asked me again to come and help. Then he moved to Manning Rangers.
Mm.
And he said, "Please come and help my coach, Ronald Makandawiri."
Mm.
And after 1 month, they fired him when I was there. And then they brought in Eddie Lewis.
Mm.
And I worked with Eddie Lewis for a month. And Eddie Lewis said, "Sally, I can't take this anymore. This is too much for me. I miss home." No, so okay.
Yeah.
So he said to the then bosses, Chico, Mr. Casey Reddy, he said, "Look, gentlemen, please let this young man coach your team. So I became the head coach of Manning Rangers in 95.
Wow, yeah.
Let's not get into the nitty-gritties, but the team, we did very well. After my first 7 games, the team was unbeaten. We went, one of the big things at the time was beating Bushbucks in Umtata. Mm. It was such a major thing for Manning Rangers, you know. One of the other things that I remember is that we played Orlando Pirates in the Coke semi-final at the Kings Park Rugby Stadium. Mm. And the game got stopped for almost half an hour because of a poor referee's decision, a linesman decision, you know.
Against Pirates.
Against Pirates, yeah. But in any case, that was just me. And then obviously from there, I then came to Cape Town in 2002. I helped, I went there to see my friend Booby Solomons, and then after a while, Booby said, look, come and help me, man, it's okay, you know. And then Mr. Ghulam Ali was, I was fortunate to get Mr. Ghulam Ali to say, come help us, I'll pay you a little bit of money, and, you know. So I spent almost 6 seasons here.
At Santos.
At Santos, yeah.
Yeah. Good seasons, obviously.
Good seasons, some good players, good team. I was there when the team won the APSA Cup, you know, 2003, beat Ajax Cape Town. I went from there. And
so, of course, nowadays you're head coach of UWC. How did that come about?
Look, I went back to Durban in 2012. After spending 2 seasons with Maritzburg as assistant coach, you know, with Gordon, Ernst Middendorp, you know, I spent 2 seasons there as assistant coach. And then I went back to Durban, and then I came back. When I came back in 2014, I met up with Booby Williams. He was the director of football.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I need somebody to assist me. So I went, and I got a job, and then I got involved in the coaching at the university. And then I'm not sure what happened, but in 2015, Booby Williams left, and then the administrator asked me if I can coach at the team. So I said, yes, why not? I've been around. And fortunately, we won the Varsity Football Cup in 2015, and that was quite nice. That was quite interesting. At the moment, I'm still there. Obviously, there's no football anywhere in the country, amateur football, that is. And we're just preparing maybe for next year.
So have you guys started anything in regards with the team, or it's just communication now?
It's just communication and, you know, more getting students in. So any matriculant who wants to study further, who can play a little bit of football, maybe just get all of us and we can see. That's the other thing that's so sad nowadays, is that you find that some talented footballers who wants to further or get a professional career going, which means study further and, you know, qualify and get a degree in something, they're not given a chance when they finished, you know, because you're either too old nowadays or you're too young. Once you get to 18, they say, no, you're still too young to play PSL. Mm. When you get to 22 and you finish your degree, they say, you're too old, man. You haven't done anything. We can't look at you. And that is, for me, is a problem, you know. I've had a lot of people asking me, have any of your players been promoted into the PSL, you know. Then I say, well, it's very difficult because there is a lot of players who got potential, but they're just not given that opportunity at the moment when they may be. But there was a couple of guys who played in the university team that has gone to professional teams, maybe for NFD or, you know, and PSL. But it just stops there.
Yeah. No, that's quite sad. I suppose that's one of the reasons why our South African football is not really going places, you know. We should be dominating in Africa, being the biggest league on the continent, most expensive cups, you know, APSA Premiership, Nedbank Cup, lots of money. But it seems like players are not given chances.
You look at it at a team like Tux, for instance. They obviously encourage a lot of their players to study. And they also get the the university team. They get their players from there. And I think one of the other clubs, Wits University, for instance, when they were still Wits University, they also encouraged some of their players to study, you know, just in case they don't. Maybe anything can happen, you know, injuries or whatever. And I think that is one of the things that I think need to be done a little bit on a more wider scale, you know, where players are afforded. Because what's happening now in this in the setup is that teams are training in the morning, and that's the time that players need to be in class if they do study. Yeah. So it becomes an issue. So maybe that is something that we need to look at, because I think the more educated our players will be, the more easy it will be to coach them, and the better they maybe they will play.
Mm. Two things I want to ask you before we talk about your other love, that's golf. What was it like playing at Curry's Fountain? And is there any regrets in terms of your footballing career from Sally Adams?
Playing at Curry's was obviously, you know, for me as a young player, I've always heard about, hey, Glendine's gone to Curry's, to Durban, to play at Curry's Fountain in the Easter tournament. So you hear all these things, you know, and then you get there and you play there, and obviously every cup final was played at Curry's Fountain, and you get there and the atmosphere. I mean, when we played in the 1980 Cup final against Manning Rangers, look, if you look at the stadiums we have now, that year there was 25,000 people in that small little environment. And that was a lot of people, you know. So playing at Curry's Fountain, where the stand is right there, the change room is right there, you come out, the people scream at you, you know, you can see everybody, and around there, you know, you can feel them.
Yes.
Any regrets in football? Nothing really. I think, personally, I've spoken to people about regrets, and there's a lot of older players who have regrets. I don't think I have regrets about.
You enjoyed your football.
I enjoyed my football. There was no money, there was nothing. I enjoyed it, I played. I made the most of it, let me put it that way. There's obviously a lot of older players who have regrets, you know, because if they look back now and they say, I'm much better than these players.
No, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take an ad break, but when we come back, I'm just going to pose this question to you. You can answer it when we come back. It's from a number ending 2940. It says, Salam, can you ask Sally what role his family played in his pro career? But you can answer that when we come back.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. You're listening to Inside Sport. My guest tonight is Sally Adams. Now, before we took that break, I asked you this question. Salam, can you ask him what role his family played in his pro career? Sally?
Look, I come from a sort of a big family. When I was playing amateur, my mother and my sisters, we were all involved in the club. And when I turned pro, they never missed any game at the stadium. They made sure that they are there. They were obviously very supportive of me being in the team. They were excited about me being in the team. They didn't want to hear anything about any comments on the stand, anybody saying anything bad about the team and me, you know. So my sisters were always there. My mother was always there. They never missed a game. And when I moved to Durban, some of them even came there to watch games. So
seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
So it was quite a support that's maybe needed nowadays, you know.
That family support, because I know what you're saying, because the whole family is to come and watch.
Yeah.
You know. Now let's share that story you were just telling me now when you went for trials to with Cape Town Spurs.
Yes, I went to when they took all the names of the guys. I went in there and everybody was called inside, and I went there. There was Bobby Solomon sitting there taking names. Mr. Petty Dolly was taking names, and Neville Lunt was taking names. And I went to Petty Dolly's table, and he said to me, "What's your name?" I said, "Sally Adams." He said, "Is your uncle's name Hamza?" Adams, the cricket man. I said, yes. He said, did you play in the Western Province Schools team 2 years ago? I said, yes. He said to me, Mr. Iso from Sinton told me about you.
Wow, okay. So this must be a family member here, Salih. Number ending 0694. Salam, well done, brother. I was the only girl doing everything with Maritzburg. All the training sessions too. The Adams family moving to Durban was for me. No name, but maybe you can send us your name, sister, and we can...
Must be my sister, Sumaya. Maya.
Maya, okay. Maya, if that's you, just let us know. Your other love, yeah, of course, was golf, and I believe you are a pretty, pretty good golfer. So I'm going to read some stuff here that came through on social media. This one's from Sugar Singh. Hi, Feroz. Please don't forget to ask him about his golfing skills. An amazing athlete and human being. And then Rowan Ramthal, you showed me this early on, but this is what Rowan had to say. Hi, Feroz. When we staged the Papua Memorial in 1984 at the Amkomas Golf Club, Salih, then as a member of the Central Durban Golf Club, won the coveted Papua Memorial Trophy, beating Natal's champion golfer Tim Clark, who later won the South African National Golf Open at Durban Country Club, a tournament in which the likes of top pros like Ernie Els participated. Salih Adams was rated a top golfer amongst us. Tim Clark went on to play pro golf in the USA, a top athlete, our Salih. So some excellent comments there. Golf was your... And obviously, now I want you to mention this as well. You had the chance to turn pro, you were telling me, in 2008, right? First of all, this tournament and then your that chance you had in 2008. And please tell the listeners why you didn't take that opportunity to go pro.
Okay, let me start first. Look, I grew up in Black River near the Rondebosch Golf Course. And that was always it was always in me. I remember I used to talk at Cape Town Spurs' training sessions to Booby Solomon about golf, and he used to always tease me about it. You know, when he wanted to make me mad, he used to say, I can beat you in golf any day. So I used to tell him, no, you will never beat me in golf. And when he wanted me to play better, he'll say, you're a bad golfer. Show me what you can do. So I used to perform, right? So when I got to Durban, I never played golf really in Cape Town on a golf course. So I phoned this guy, Rowan, once, and I said to him, look, I want to play golf. I think I can play. And Rowan said to me, come. So I played with him the first round. He said to me, listen, are you sure you've never played golf before on the golf course? I said, no. Then he said, look, can you play with me on Wednesday? Because I want to give you a handicap. I want to give you a handicap so you can play in the club's competitions. So I went. Then he gave me a handicap of 13,
yes,
to start with. Yeah. Within a month or so, I was like a 6, you know, and they couldn't believe it. Coming back to that golf thing, I actually won the Papua tournament twice. In 1985, not 84, 85, I won it. And they asked me to give a comment at the prize giving. So I said, look, if my family in Cape Town is going to hear the score, they're going to be very upset with me. And the guys looked at me and said, you won. What's wrong with you? I said, look, I should have played better. You know? So then I won it again in 95. That's when I beat Tim Clark.
Yeah.
You know? And I shot a 70, I think. And I beat him by 2 shots. And it's just one of those things that we... Look, I think golf is a part of me. My father played golf. My father's brothers played golf. My one uncle is known as Haji in the Cape Peninsula Golf Club, where I'm a member now. He was a honorary life president, you know, and he was good. But what a lot of people don't know is that my mother's brothers were very, very good golfers. Mm. So I carried for them at Athlone Golf Course every Sunday. And one day, this is a stupid story. One day I'm carrying for my uncle, my mother's brother, and this one guy playing with him says, I know this guy from somewhere, man. And this guy says, don't worry. He's my sister's son. Don't worry about him. That guy kept on saying, look, I know this guy from somewhere. So this my uncle said, maybe you go watch him on Monday nights, man. We'd play for Cape Town Spurs. That guy said, yes, that's where I saw him. So that's me in golf, right? So when I won this golf thing, Papua tournament, it was a nice thing. Look, for most of my life, I've played as a from scratch to maybe five in, wow, the, in between there. Mm. At the moment, I'm a pensioner, so okay, I'm old. I still play over five handicap.
Wow.
Yeah. This is another story. In 2009, I was interviewed here in this studio.
Yes.
And I got selected for the Western Province senior team when we went to Pretoria. And this is another stupid story. I went to get my tie and my blazer and my you know, my clothing. And there's a guy came up to me. He said, "Are you Sally Adams?" I said, "Yes. What's the problem?" He says, "No, everybody's talking about you in Cape Town. Let me tell you something. I've played golf in this province for 25 years. I've never seen you on a golf course." I said, "I'm so sorry. I just came from Durban." So, yeah.
And you spent 20 years in Durban,
I've
right?
I've spent 20 years in Durban.
And that chance of turning of not turning pro.
Okay. I went to Durban, and the guy said to me, his name is Param Joseph. He owns a Mattress King. He said to me, "Come, I'm going to sponsor you. You can now go for your dream that you always had to become a professional golfer." So I went. I said, "Look, I'm joining a club." I joined Bluff Golf Club in Durban. He gave me the money. I joined. Every day I go there. I said, "Listen, I need X amount of money to go play and practice." Mm. "Yeah, yeah, go." So I thought, hey, my dream is coming true. Oh, I'm living the life of a pro golfer. 4 weeks later, it ended.
Very short stint.
Very short stint, because he decided I must coach his football team.
Oh.
So that was it. So, yes, you know, they always say sports people need to focus on one. Mm. Unfortunately, maybe I had two abilities and yeah. I just mixed up my whole life.
Well, absolutely, you deserve that applause. We got one question here from a number ending 9134. Oh, ask, what about the African Wanderers stint? Did you have a stint with African Wanderers?
I did play for African Wanderers myself. And, Calvin Peterson and I went to African Wanderers. There was this manager who came and sort of grabbed us from there, according to him, Lawrence Nkubani. And we went to play for African Wanderers.
Yeah.
And obviously, my first game was against Morocco Swallows in Sharpeville. What an experience, you know. And then I also played at Witt, against Wits at the Wits Stadium. But 6 weeks later, it ended.
Yeah.
Because we never got paid. we never got paid what we were promised.
Well,
so we went back to Maritzburg United. We actually begged them to take us back.
Well, there you have it, Wayne K. That's your answer from Sally Adams about his stint at African Wanderers. Sally Adams, I must say it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you about your days with all your professional clubs and, of course, your golfing days as well. Mm. And I believe your daughter is also playing in the U.S., is that correct, before we go?
My daughter has finished 2 years at college golf. Her name is Iman Adams. And this year she'll be going to study at the University of Alabama,
wow,
Montgomery. Mm. She's a useful golfer.
She turned pro, turning pro.
No, she's still studying. She's playing
but
university golf.
Golf is her number one.
Well, she plays golf.
Oh, fantastic.
Let me put
fantastic.
It
yeah. Sally Adams, thanks again. Thanks for chatting to us and all the best to you. I hope you enjoyed another brilliant edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back with more sporting news on the drive time from Monday to Friday. From me, Firoz Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Inside Sport.